initially it'll be a knee-jerk reaction, but ultimately it possibly won't be such a bad thing that they do let Greece go in terms of, one, the Greek sovereign, and two, for the Eurozone sake.
No pain, no gain, as they say. Bridget, thanks so much for your time this evening. That's Bridget Taylor from the Forex Desk at Nedbank Capital in Johannesburg.
Talking Wealth is brought to you by Citadel, private client wealth care.
On Talking Wealth this week, we speak to Alfie Bester, who is a fiduciary specialist at Citadel Fiduciary Limited, based in Cape Town. And this is the email I got. He said, I'll be talking on a very recent decided court case in which the court pierced the corporate veil due to certain lack of trustee management issues. On the line now is Alfie Bester. What do you mean, Alfie?
Well, effectively, what happens is that a trust is subject to certain, call it corporate governance,
yeah,
where the trustees must take implemented steps for the ongoing maintenance. The minute they maintain, it is how to manage a trust. For instance, by having regular meetings of trustees, by the trustees sort of not acting on their own, where they don't treat it as what is commonly called the alter ego, i.e., you know, sort of where they deal with the trust assets as if those were their own assets. And in this particular case, and it's the first one that that I'm aware of, that particularly deals on the trustees' lack of, call it, effective management around the trust, where they've actually pierced the veil, the corporate veil of the trust, and ruled, and the court ruled that those assets should be regarded as the assets of the underlying trustee, where they, in this particular case, they treated with those trust assets as if they were their own. Now, just by way of a little background to this, it is a matter between First National Bank and certain persons.
Yes.
And it was heard in the North Gauteng High Court before Judge Mabuse. And the purpose of the application brought by First National Bank was to seek an order declaring the movable and immovable property of the trust to be that of the personal property of the respondents, who were these two individuals.
Why did they do that? Why did F&B take it upon themselves to do this? Because obviously this is a huge institution against two individuals. There must have been some further background to it.
Yes, well, as I say, what's interesting here, and one can probably apply what happened in this particular case to many, many other trusts, where two individuals, the husband and wife, they were married in community of property, but that's actually irrelevant. They set up, call it, a series of three trusts, the one to hold their movable assets, i.e., you know, sort of their household furniture and effects, the other trust to hold their immovable property, a property situated somewhere in our thing, good property in terms of which they conducted a business, it was a business trust. And during the course of the business of the, call it, the third trust, they wanted bank finance, i.e. into First National Bank. First National Bank grants the finance to the business trust, but also asks, as it normally does, and my mind quite correctly, for personal suretyship by the individual. And these would be the trustees who are also the people who are administering the trust and who are conducting the business through the trust. So they signed personal suretyship. Long story cut short, the business fails, the bank falls in, you know, so the money is due under the suretyship, and the parties claim, that the private individuals claim that they have no assets. The bank then launches, you know, sort of a whole series of applications whereby they're trying to look at, you know, what are in the underlying trust, because the business trust has its own and only beneficiary, the other trust, which in turn has the other trust as its beneficiary, so to speak.
So
they created this sort of line of trust that are beneficiaries to one another, but ultimately the control vested in the two the trustees who are the ultimate beneficiaries of these trusts as well. And although they didn't have an independent outsider trustee, the court didn't actually address that issue. That was addressed in the previous decided case. But what had happened here is that, you know, because the bank failed to grieve, they then asked the court to look, and they presented evidence to the effect that these people did not conclude and did not hold trustees meetings, they did not compile annual financial statements. They did not sort of rip the ultimate beneficiaries who could also have been their children. You knew nothing what was going on. And it all boiled down to that the court under the circumstances said, I move away the veil over the trust and deem these assets to be your own assets. The bank can attach them.
Interesting stuff. Was it a deliberate scam by the individuals concerned to exploit the legislation surrounding trusts in South Africa? That's the first question.
Yes, well, I won't say it was a deliberate scam. It was a deliberate scheme of arrangement for the purpose of trying to hide assets from creditors' claims.
Same thing in my eyes, but obviously you can't say that, yeah.
But that's basically what it was meant to be, to make it very difficult, if not impossible, for creditors to get their hands onto these assets.
Very interesting. And now,
As I say, the reason why the scheme of arrangement failed was because they did not have proper effective control as trustees around these assets.
Could they have got away with it, Alfie, if they had been more assiduous with their paperwork and with their adherence to the law, and if they'd had a good financial advisor? Could this possibly have slipped through the legal net?
Well, as I say, one should never establish trust for things to slip through a legal net. When you establish a trust, it should be for the purpose of protecting the assets, but there then should be a distinct separation between effective control and management and enjoyment of the assets, of the trust assets, and it can constitute any form of asset. And as long as you do it in a proper fashion, so that it's there for the world to see, if it's tested, that the trustees, you could also be beneficiaries, you could also be the founder, but they've effectively divested themselves of control, and that is why it's also important that that any body of must look at, sort of, where does our independence come from. And that invariably would be by the need of an independent outside trustee. Although not yet legislated for, the master of a high court effectively these days insists that you've got your independent outsider. That need not be a trust company, need not be an attorney. It can just be anyone who is sitting as an independent, and it must be a person who can apply his mind independently, and by the same token is not a potential beneficiary under the trust. Then you've got to be independent.
Understood. What I was really trying to guess at was, would similar cases be better administered and better propagated, if you like, and slip through the net? Is this going to be a case that, for example, gets everyone's ears pricked up about the potential abuse in other trusts?
Correct. Because very often people are not aware of the consequences by them actually just getting trust assets. If it was there, not only do you expose the assets to attack from any source, and it's not normally only creditors. It can also be that these assets, under such circumstances, be looked at by SARS at the end of the day as being part of your estate, and whereas you may have have not reflected these assets on your own personal balance sheet over the years, on the basis that they belong to a trust, that if there's not proper effective management and control of these assets in the trust, that task will also pierce the corporate veil and say these assets were technically used as you were using them as your alter ego, and therefore I'm going to attribute the value of those assets to your estate.
Alfie, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Very interesting stuff. That's Alfie Bester from Citadel, based in Cape Town.
This edition of Talking Wealth was brought to you by Citadel, private client wealthcare.
When the economy was racing along and everyone was enjoying